What would be like some tips for like younger people wanting to do poetry, and like how, what's their best way to express themselves through poetry?
Oh, me? Okay. I would really, well, the only advice I can really give you is to write. But I mean that. But and also, I mean, something that I've noticed that's been a theme throughout this entire week, like I've been speaking to so many students, and I find myself consistently saying the same thing, which is to really, like, talk your shit, speak your truth. Always speak your truth. And if you speak your truth and you know your truth, you are like, you're untouchable because you know it. And that's really your job as a poet, is to tell the truth. We talked about this, Daisy and I. But yeah, write every day and speak your truth. It's really the best advice I can give you.
I will add to pay attention to the world.
Yeah.
Write about everything. Speak the truth, as Tatiana is saying, but get out of yourself also and see the world and tell your own truth of what you see. Because each one of us is a witness of our time, right? We are here just for a very brief moment. So if we leave some, I will say if we leave some trace of the moment we were living through, and our words stay through time, is that you did a good job, right? That's why we still read Sappho, and we still read ancient poetry, we still read Catullo, we still read Shakespeare, etc., right?
Mm-hmm. keep going. Yeah.
Like, so you said you went through a lot of trauma, which is something really big in like poetry alone. Kind of like most of my poetry is like traumatic from like personal experience. Like, what was the best way for like you to be able to come to terms to it, to the point where you were able to write about it and like able to put that out there, because it's like really important information and it's really like personal. Mm-hmm. So like, how were you able to like be able to like, okay, like I've dealt with it, moved on, and now I want everybody to know. Like, how were you able to do that?
Writing.
Well, that's a short answer.
I mean, yeah, writing has become something that has allowed me to come to terms with so many things in my life. And actually just the somatic act of writing, like not typing at a computer, but sitting down and writing for a certain amount of period, like a certain amount of time. And I'm deeply in my body, like all the time. And to actually commit to the physical act of writing and like going through thoughts and putting like words to images and words to thoughts, words to colors and things has been really helpful to me. And also therapy. It's a really big part of it, sliding scale therapy. And if you ever need any resources on that in the city and county of San Francisco, please don't hesitate to write to me. I'm very rich in those. So, yeah.
You have to seek beauty in poetry. Truth, beauty, and you have to distill the language too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
So I've wondered if writers sometimes, or poets, have this sort of disconnect to their writing. Has there ever been a moment where you like felt you were reading someone else's story or like someone else's type thing, like even if it's your own?
You're asking about inspiration?
No, just like when like you're rereading something you've written after like uh-huh. in the past. Uh-huh. Have you felt like you're not that person anymore? Or like it wasn't you who wrote that?
Well, I believe that we are different persons through our lives. I mean, there is a core that stays there. And I will quote a wonderful North American poet. Correct me if I am wrong. George Chopin was, who said about that nobody changes, it's just that you become more revealed. So it is, you are the same person, but you are not. Because when I was 20 years, I was a different person, of course, than now. But one of the poems I read tonight, the message to my friend about the tyrant that I wanted him to leave, I wrote it when I was 28 years old. And we had another dictator in those days. And then I took the poem from that old poem from a book, and I wanted to read it tonight because we are back in the same story. So yes, when you say your truth, I guess that's when things, you change, you might change, but what you said stays, right?
Mm-hmm. My question is for Daisy. I was really moved by the first poem that you read, and I would like to know if you'd like to share where the inspiration came from.
The inspiration comes from everywhere because, you know, I think that it's life which writes poetry through my hand. Everything I have lived through, everything I have seen, everything I have read, everything I have gone through has enriched my poetry, because a poet is like a radar. You know, you walk through the world absorbing the world and giving it back in your poetry. I always think about the different process that is to be a poet from being a fiction writer. Because to be a poet, you have to pay attention to everything. To the world, to yourself, to your fellow, to people, and to the world, right? To everything. But when you are writing a novel, you have to create your own world. You are like inside yourself and creating characters and creating a whole world. You are like a little god that is creating. Your own story. So I sometimes reflect on this double, I will say, role of the writer. When a writer is a poet and also a fiction writer, you have to be very versatile, to be everywhere, to be paying attention to everything, because the more you pay attention and keep writing, of course, the more you are hit by ideas and by emotions, by readings. A lot of poems come from reading also, because some you might read a beautiful poem or a beautiful thing that somebody said, and it inspires you. It stays in your head for a long time until it takes body and becomes a poem. And everything, you can write about everything as long as you are serious with your writing. I mean that you want to write, to say things the best way you can say them, you know, if to work hard and to do your best, you will be fine.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. This question is for Tatiana. I wanted to ask about your essay, like your writing process. I wanted to know, because it's so pertinent and relevant to right now, I wanted to know when you wrote that, and if it was recent, how was the process of the writing and the editing for that specific piece?
I wrote that essay on Thursday. A week ago. Yeah, thank you for clarifying that. It feels like it's been one long day, or one long night, rather. But I got a call from my friend Amy, and she is also a poet, and she asked me to come over. I said I had to do work, and she said we could work together. So I went to her house, and she's in the middle of a Title IX lawsuit in her own grad program that she had been in 10 years ago. And she had asked me to read an email of hers, and then while I was reading the email, I said, oh, what day of days to read this email, right? And she was like, what are you talking about? And I was like, oh, it's the day of the hearings. And she just was like, I didn't know that. So we ended up going on a walk and processing things. And because it was just in the air, you know, we were seeing women of all kinds of women just walking down the street, like crying and just openly and kind of in despair. And it really was sort of like a national trauma, like in a weird way. And people were just kind of walking around with like wounds open. And my mother was texting me the whole day watching the hearings. And so I kind of was like, I can't sit down and just write an essay about John Cale, who I was trying to write an essay about. I'm just gonna sit and just kind of record things as they're happening. But as I was remembering things, I was I thought about, I don't know if any of you are familiar with working with video, but how eventually like your computer will like get overheated and slow down, and the footage will get kind of mangled and like data mush, and your fan will turn on your laptop and it gets really hot. And that's kind of how I was feeling remembering a lot of these things. So that's why it's like out of order, a lot of stuff. There are chunks of it that I didn't read. Because I wanted to give the reader that sense. But I wrote it in 72 hours and sent it to people to kind of read and edit, and then it was published yesterday. So, yeah. So, and in the time that I have published it, I have received several emails from people telling me that they had also been sexually assaulted by their physician, which was I'm kind of a neutral feeling in regards to that, like that was a thing that has happened to so many people, and also people have come out publicly about that in that time frame too. So yeah.
Hi, so I have a question for both of you guys. So being a poet myself, I know that most of my inspirations come from like trauma or like experiences that I've had throughout life. And it takes a lot of guts to say that in front of many, and I can just imagine you guys speaking that. How do you guys, like, any tips on how to like beat that scare you have inside?
Stage right. Yeah. I mean, I want to vomit right now. I'm sorry. And I won't, but like, you know, I'm a very shy person, and I have like a lot of stage fright. But I know something that I find, I don't think like Daisy and I are writing the same thing necessarily. I feel like Daisy's writing is like incredibly liberatory. It's very like consciousness raising. It's almost like refusing to be traumatized in a way, which I find just so liberating. and in my own work, I'm kind of, I feel like sometimes it's a thing that I'm trying to get away from it. Like, I'm trying to get away from being like a victim poet. But it's like, it's something that every time I do it, people come up to me and, like, you know, they respond to it, because I think there is a need for people to speak their truth of what they've experienced. But, and that in itself, like, that people just coming up to me afterwards or telling me afterwards or, like, sharing their responses to me, that in itself is worth feeling like I'm going to pass out with a nosebleed in front of all of you. So it's, yeah.
You're talking about being scared in stage?
Yeah.
I think it was Miles Davis who said that if you are not nervous, you are not paying attention. So you're always nervous, you know, when you are on stage. But that's why you have to be sure that what you're going to say, you believe in what you're saying. You believe in what you wrote, so that it helps you to overcome the scare, right? If you know that you are saying that your truth and you did your best to say it the best way and in the most beautiful possible way, you will have, you will overcome the scare. I promise you.
Yeah.
You gonna go after me. So you said, like, once you, like, published your story, your essay, you got a lot of responses talking about how they, you know, went through the same thing, and then people also responded. Like, how does it, like, feel that you inspire so many women, like, people in general, like, to come forth with their own trauma, or, like, you know, inspire women to write poetry, you know, to find someone who they can look up to? Because now you're talking to a bunch of youth who maybe didn't like poetry before, but maybe like poetry now, who want to express themselves.
That's
like now.
The best thing to hear, honestly. Like, that youth who didn't like poetry before now like it. You know, I honestly wish that, and none of those people ever had to go through that. I honestly wish that I was the only person who has been assaulted by their doctor in the whole world. Like, that's not a thing that happens to people. Like, I wish that that was an anomaly. I wish that, like, I didn't, like, and it's so strange to me, like, getting them and hearing from people, and but at the same time, and, you know, I write about reading my friend's book and seeing that she talks about the same thing, and that I had refused to read her book for so long because I knew that something was alluded in there, and reading it and then having that reaction to it and then feeling guilty about the relief that I felt that I wasn't alone, it's a complicated relationship to it, because there's, like, you know, it's, but it still happens, that too. And we also just, you know, what was it, like, 6 months ago, that doctor at the University of Michigan or something, or Michigan State University? He was a gym, yeah, and the entire USA Gymnastics organization had based all of their medical standards on what this guy had to say, and he had assaulted, like, hundreds of young girls. You know, and finding that out was, like, mind-boggling. Like, it was just, it was awful, honestly. But it does make me feel like, you know, there are times when, like, I do get resentful of having to kind of perform my trauma. Like, and I realized recently, I'm not performing it for people to, like, for people not to do this, to, like, not assault, go ahead and assault people, or, like, I'm not doing it for them. I'm actually doing it for people to see, like, that I'm not scared, and that if it's happened to them, like, that they're actually not alone, and that they're not lonely, and that they're not the only people that that's happened to, honestly. So, but also, if you're young, and, or you're a youth, I am no longer a youth. But if you are a youth and this has inspired you to write poetry, I'm really happy. That's like the best thing to hear, because definitely need more poets in the world. Please write poetry.
Here you go.
Cool.
This is for Tatiana. In the Easy Body, how did you go about the selection process for the images and the pictures that you used to kind of coincide or complement the poetry? What was your creative process just for the images?
For the images, yeah, that's like, I've been asked that question a lot lately, and I don't, like, that's the part that I don't remember the most.
Okay, because a lot of them do complement the works, but some of them are a bit more abstract.
Yeah, like there's some pretty graphic things in it, definitely. And it's mainly National Geographic photographs, which I really like to use because so many different people use them. And it's wonderful to look at other people's collages and to see like the same imagery and see how they're utilized. And some are photographs that I've taken myself and have synthesized with those things. But the way that the images were placed, I actually have to give credit to my editors, M.G. Spiro and Joel Gregory, who very carefully went through each thing and layered the book just so beautifully. And I don't know if any of you have seen the artist edition, but the artist edition is printed on vellum, so everything blurs into each other. And that was originally how all the copies of the book were supposed to be printed, but they couldn't afford it because they're a small press. So they only printed like a couple hundred of those. So there was a period of time where everything I was making, the title I was giving it was The Easy Body. But everything that I was making was against The Easy Body. So that was kind of interesting to kind of work with. And a lot of, you know, the forms are things turning into other things. And these like sort of, I'm like very fascinated by the story of the Minotaur, mm-hmm. which is like the human with the head of a bull who's like kept in a maze and a labyrinth. And that Theseus is like sent to go kill. And because I definitely feel like a Minotaur, and you know, there is like a Minotaur in the book. So I'm like very interested in these like synthesis creatures, like that are very intensely populated in Greek mythology. So, does that answer your question?
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Okay.
You guys are beautiful, by the way.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Question. I know.
Thank you for writing about the national trauma, and I'm glad that your writing gave a voice to, I think, what everyone was feeling last Thursday and beyond. And my question actually for Daisy, I know that really from you that poetry is very much celebrated in Nicaragua. And I'm wondering now with the national trauma that's going on in Nicaragua, is there an expression of, you know, reaction to the oppression in Nicaragua that's coming through in poetry, or is anything even coming out of Nicaragua that allows you to see that poetry being used politically?
A lot of poems and songs have been created in these days, but I must say that in general, Nicaraguans have a great joy of life. People is very lively. People wants to live in Nicaragua, and we have, maybe this happens to countries. Nicaragua has been a small country which has had a very, very tragic history. So we are used to tragedy. We are used to terrible events in our history, right? For example, in my lifetime, I lived through a revolution that was really a civil war. I lived through a second civil war that was while we were in the revolutionary period when Reagan created the counter-revolution. And I am living again through another insurrection of the people, but this is a civic insurrection. There are no weapons, but people is being killed, is being massacred by the dictator. So I don't know if it is a privilege, because it helps you to see life from a different perspective, like you know that you have to keep living no matter what, and you have to express that that wish to live in your in everything, in your poetry and in your in the songs and in everything. So at the same time that we might you know, suffer and lament death and destruction, we also sing. We also sing life. And actually the motto is Patria Libre y Vivir, which means everybody saying free land and be alive, because our motto in the revolution was free land or death, because we wanted to have our country free, and now people says free land and staying alive. So so yes, in Nicaragua, poetry and music is another weapon, I could say, of the people that keep us going. So that's why people that's why poetry speaks for the people in Nicaragua, and it's so popular. It's the most popular art. Baseball and poetry are are the most popular sports in Nicaragua, and so it's different. I think it is it has been a way of expressing this history that we have had, that is so it has been full of so much turmoil, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it really is why that joy of life mm-hmm. is really why you fight. Mm-hmm. Because there's nothing to fight for if mm-hmm. living isn't worth it. You know, it's like that joy.
Mm-hmm. So first off, thank you for reading tonight. Appreciate it. My question is about, you both have had different avenues and trips through your paths in education. How has that influenced your writing now? So how have your individual path through education influenced your writing today?
As I said before, you know, I write about everything that I have gone through life, everything I have read about, everything I have experienced. And tonight I try to choose poems from that will explain little bits of my overall experience, right? You say education. I think that there is education from studying, education from reading, and education from life itself. So education is an integral thing, I think, that is up to you how much you are interested in everything that surrounds you. I will die and I will not know everything I want to know. And I am curious every day about everything. And I guess that's the key element, right? Mm-hmm. Because each poet has his or her own voice, and each one of us has a different, goes through different paths. But as long as you keep interested, you will be fine. Because remember that poetry is news that stays news.
I think it was Mark Twain who said, "I'm glad I didn't let my schooling get in the way of my education." So when I was in high school, I would ditch my academic classes and go to the library and read. And then eventually I like stopped going to class and walking around the city with my camera. And that really was like, and also, you know, just being the kind of person I am, which I guess is to say like very devoted to the mystery, which is like, you know, the mystery can be all sorts of things, but really like, you know, when I die, I'm not gonna know everything either, and I'm not sure if I actually want to. So.
No, we will never.
Yeah, we will never. And, you know, and after I die, there's going to be new things to know about. Right. And there are some things I really don't want to know about, but there is like, I think definitely moving through the world and not being in a classroom was extremely important for me to like come into my own as a writer and to not necessarily read what, like I read things in school, of course, that were very inspirational to me, but I think also taking advantage of like libraries was incredibly important to me, and reading, I mean, reading is still like my one true love. I'm sorry, Conrad. And it is like, it's a thing that I'm like truly devoted to and that I find deep pleasure in still. And so much of my writing is in response to things that I read. So yeah, I mean, if I like, I had an English teacher in high school who had to appear at juvenile court for me when I was caught ditching the library. And she said, you know, if I could, I would just tell my students to just read. So she's fine. I'm not offended. So.
Yes, reading is fundamental.
Totally, 100%. And
not necessarily education is to liberate you. So you have to find your own ways.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, so much of like education, I feel, is to kind of keep people from, maybe schooling is the right word for it. Yeah, to keep people from things to know.
To think out of the books.
Yes, exactly. So I say this while you're in a class, but yeah. Cool. Library.
Yeah. Maybe one more question. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It seems we have answered all the questions.
I know all the questions you have for us.
What questions do you have for one another?
So many. I'm like overwhelmed right now. I'm not going to lie. Yeah. Also, we're both very shy. Have you know? Yeah. So it's kind of an interesting experience to like be like to have like intimate space with each other. And in the past, like on Monday, we spent time together. And but it's funny to like do this interaction in front of dozens of people. So and a camera and Joaquim. So.
Can ask one another later.
Off camera.
Thank you both very much.
Thank you so much.